Well, if you would take your Bibles and go to the book of Genesis to begin this morning. Genesis chapter 17. Today's Sunday, July the 21st, 2024. We're going to begin in Genesis. There are times that we buy something because the price seems reasonable. And you say, okay, I'll purchase that. There are times when someone may give us a bid on a job and we think the price is reasonable and we say, okay. We might sign a contract at some point and we sign it in agreement because the terms of the contract seem reasonable to us. You know, I think in court, the jurors are told to find someone guilty, it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt, right? This morning, we're going to look at some things in God's Word that might seem to be unreasonable. And we start in Genesis 17. And in verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Sarah shall her name be. And I'm going to bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Of course, at this point, Abraham has a son called Ishmael, who came from Hagar because Sarah was barren. Then Abraham, verse 17, fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, that's 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. I heard you talking about him. I heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Does that sound reasonable? I mean, okay, so Abraham's 99 years old, but Sarah, who's 90, and there's another scripture that talks about Sarah being past the time of being able to conceive. But even on top of that, she's barren. She's not able to conceive. Does that sound reasonable for God to say your wife Sarah's going to have a baby? Does that sound sensible? Rational? Of course not. It doesn't. But as you know from the scriptures, Abraham believed what God said, even if it might have seemed unreasonable. We go to 2 Kings 4. We're going to look at a couple of records in 2 Kings. Samuel, then Kings. 2 Kings 4. This is Elisha the prophet. 2 Kings 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear or reverence the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And I think you know the Bible culture that if you couldn't pay your debts, then it was very legal for them to take your two sons to go work it off. And that would leave the widow very destitute. And Elisha, verse 2, in 2 Kings 4:2, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what have you got in the house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil, which meant something of value. Didn't mean that it was a totally empty house with one pot of oil in the middle. That's all she had that was of any value. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all your neighbors. Empty vessels, borrow not a few, as many as you can get. And when you are come in, you shall shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Does that sound reasonable to you? It sounds ridiculous. Fill all these empty vessels with your one pot of oil. Fill them till they're full. Sounds ridiculous, right? Doesn't sound reasonable, does it? No, of course not. Well, verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live, you and your children, of the rest. Not just the debt being paid off, but now she's got money to live. Abundance. The proper response to God's word, even if it sounds unreasonable, the proper response to God's word is to believe God. Next chapter over, chapter 5. Chapter 5. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, the king, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper, not good. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So with the war, the conflict, the Syrians came and were victorious and took captives away, and one of the captives was a lady from Israel who is now a maid working for Naaman's wife. And she, this maid out of Israel, she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord, she's referring to Naaman, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Wow. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. That's pretty wacky. But the maid said, the prophet in Israel. But the king got all excited and said, okay, I'm going to send a letter to the king, king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to you, the king, that you, the king, may recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy of all things? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He wants to start a war. And it was so, in verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? And the renting clothes in the Bible times was great grief, sorrow, total emotion. Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, you know, and all his big gift that he had, you know, the gold, the silver, the raiment, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Why'd he do that? Because that's what God told him to do. Sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and you shall be clean. The only reason Naaman's there in the first place is because he thought it was reasonable that the prophet could heal him. And now, does this sound reasonable? That to cure yourself of leprosy, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Does that sound reasonable? No, it's ridiculous. It's totally unreasonable. Who ever heard of such a thing? Dip in the Jordan 7 times? Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. That's what I thought would happen. You know, just a sidebar here. Sometimes we ought to just believe God and not try to figure out the how. Let's let God figure out the how he's going to do something. I thought he was going to come out here. I thought he'd call on his God. This is what I had in my mind. And then he's going to put his hands up. And then he goes on. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers at Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Better than that stinky old Jordan? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? I mean, if he told you that to get clean, you just need to go do something really hard, wouldn't you have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. According to the saying of the man of God, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Leprosy was very serious. Your skin falls off. And here this man, after dipping 7 times, has flesh like a child. How does that happen? The power of God. So, did it sound unreasonable? Yep. But if he had not gone down to the Jordan and dipped 7 times, he would not have been healed. And it's interesting to note that Elisha's messenger spoke God's word to Naaman because the messenger was sent by Elisha, and Elisha got his information from God. The proper response to God's word, even if it sounds unreasonable, is to believe God. And a lot of times when I read this record of Naaman, it reminds me of Romans 10:9, because there's an if in Romans 10:9, just like there was an if for this guy. If you go down to Jordan and dip 7 times. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. What? That's it? That's all I have to do to get saved, to get salvation? How simple God made it. And so when I read this record, I think about, well, if God had told you to do some big thing like go on to a top of a mountain and fast for 3 weeks to be saved, wouldn't you do it? How much easier is it that God said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. So, even if it sounds unreasonable, the proper response to God's word is always to believe God. We're not going to look at it, but in Luke 1, what was Mary's response to the angel Gabriel, who told her, you are going to be the mother of the long-awaited Savior, and your pregnancy is going to come by divine conception? Did that sound reasonable? It's very unreasonable. Really? That's going to happen? But as you know, her response in Luke, she said to the angel Gabriel, who was sent by God, be it unto me according to thy word. And a few verses later, her cousin Elizabeth, who spoke by revelation, filled with spirit, blessed is she that believed. So again, even if it sounds unreasonable, the proper response when we have God's word is to believe it. In Acts chapter 9, Paul was leading the persecution, got special letters so he could even go as far as Damascus to hurt and harm believers. But his trip was interrupted by a visit from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ended up flat on his fanny and couldn't see. And now he's over at, what's that guy's name? Justice's house. And we pick up the record in Acts 9, verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Go on over to Straight Street. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Does this sound unreasonable? Absolutely. Very unreasonable. Paul was leading the persecution. Believers were being beaten, arrested, and killed. Need to go over to Judas's house there on Straight Street and put your hands on the man so he can see again. How about I go over to that house and put my hands on his neck? Could I do that, Lord? And choke this man. Verse 13, Ananias is like, whoa, I need a little more information, Lord. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, You go. Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Again, was Paul is going to be, it's this Saul of Tarsus guy is going to do these things? Whoo! Ananias went his way, verse 17. May have sounded unreasonable, but the proper response when you have God's word is to believe God. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Even if it sounds unreasonable, the proper response when we have God's word is to believe it. Let's go to Acts 27, if you would. Acts 27, Paul is on the ship that ran into Euroclydon, I think it's called, this gigantic typhoon. And remember, in those days, they didn't have engines. Just have sails in the middle of the Mediterranean in a typhoon. And this thing was just vicious, went on for like 2 weeks. And we pick up the record in Acts 27, verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. When all hope is taken away, you're now hopeless. There is no hope. We're doomed. There's no Coast Guard to call. It's over with. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not to have loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Everybody smile. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Was this something hopeful? Is this a crazy man? I sure hope none of us die, even if the ship is gone. I'm really hoping that. He didn't even say, I'm praying that. Be of good cheer. Nobody's going to die, going to lose the ship. How could he say such a thing? How could he possibly? All hope is gone. They've been at this for 2 weeks. So how could he say this? The next verse tells us why. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, this is what the angel said to him, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. After 2 weeks of this, the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's what believing is. It's accepting what God said. Even if it's unreasonable, our proper response when we see God's word is to believe it. Howbeit, verse 26, we must be cast upon a certain island. And they were, it's Malta. And the last verse of this chapter, they all made it. Was it 200 on that?
76.
200 and how many?
276.
That's right, 276. 276 people. The ship crashed into the rocks. And it wasn't a nice sunny day. They're in the middle of a typhoon. It was cold. It was rainy. As you read into Acts 28, they're trying to get warm by the fire. Anyway, verse 44 of this 27th chapter, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all, safe to land. All 276 made it. Just like the angel of God said, God has given you all of them. Not one person died in that horrible mess. So again, even if it sounds unreasonable, the proper response when we have God's word is to believe it. And in all of these examples that we've looked at, they received specific information that originated from God, not from their own head. I mean, with Abraham, it was God directly communicating with him. Elisha, the prophet, speaking for God. The angel speaking for God. Jesus on the road to Damascus there and with Ananias. For you and me, for each one of us, God has given us specific information. And if you're familiar with the verse in Peter that says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God has given you and I, each one of us, specific information. And you know what? He had holy men of God write it down. Write it down. It wasn't like Paul was thumbing through something on the ship and ran into something that said, no, the angel just said it to him. For us, we can read it more than once. Now, what was that again? Oh, okay. Got to get that in my head. God had it written down for us, specific information. And you know, when it comes to born-again believers, the seven church epistles, that's mailed to us, specifically for us. How blessed we are. And so, we read things like, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's information to us from God. My God shall supply all your need. That is specific information to us from God. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, specifically to us. And when we hear or read things like that, do we subtly think that's unreasonable for me? Maybe for someone else who's much more spiritual than I am, God would supply all their need. Or God would make grace abound toward them. God would certainly supply their needs, but not mine. Do we think maybe it's unreasonable for me because I'm not really worth such a promise? I'm not worthy of God Almighty to do that for me. Or do we say, be it unto me according to thy word? I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. This is what God told us. This is what God speaks to us. And I'm sure that you can probably think of other examples, there are many of them in the scriptures, that seemed unreasonable. Jesus told a man with a withered hand, stretch forth your hand. That's unreasonable. I mean, if you saw somebody who had his arm in a cast, said, would you hold this for me? He'd probably slap you with his good hand. That's a stretch forth thine hand. And he did it. Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, roll back the stone. Take the stone away. Who does that? Peter said to a man over 40 years old that was born lame, rise up and walk. Completely unreasonable. But again, the proper response to God's word is to believe God. And here's another one. Does it seem reasonable, logical, sensible, rational, that you can speak a language you do not understand? How logical is that? How sensible, how reasonable is that? But God said in his written word to us that every born-again believer has the Spirit of God and has the ability to speak a language they do not know. That's what God said. The ability to speak in tongues. What then is our response? That's unreasonable. That's not even rational. That doesn't make any sense. Is there any difference in us reading where God tells us that? Is there any difference between that or if God Almighty spoke out loud to you? Or if God sent an angel and said that to you? Or if a prophet said it? Well, actually, a prophet did say it, the Apostle Paul, by way of revelation in 1 Corinthians 12:7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone. And in chapter 14, verse 5, I would you all speak with tongues. Forbid not to speak with tongues. So, what's the proper response to God's word? Even if it seems unreasonable, right? Do we take God at his word, accept it, believe it, pursue understanding, and then manifest the Spirit of God that we have by speaking in tongues, and then continue on and pursue an understanding so that we could operate all nine of the manifestations? Even if it sounds unreasonable, the proper response when we have God's word is to believe it. Be of good cheer. I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. There's a lot that God has told us. So let's all be of good cheer and believe God even as it is told to us. We're going to go to Romans chapter 4. We started with Abraham. So we might as well end in the scriptures with Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Being not weak in faith, or not weak in the right way of believing, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But was strong in faith, strong in the right way of believing, giving glory to God. And this is where we want to be, verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. That's it. That's it. Getting fully persuaded. And so, you know, like, for example, when it comes to speaking in tongues, the first time someone ever hears about it, they're like, what are you talking about? I remember I was almost 25 years old when I first heard about speaking in tongues. What? What is that? And someone had given me one of the books or several of the books from the ministry, and Kathy and I were reading them, and I'm like, what is this? Kathy, what is this speaking in tongues stuff? And I asked my friend at work, I went, do you speak in tongues? He's like, yeah. You do? When? He said, all the time. So it was very new to me. So it wasn't like, you know, read it once. Okay, I needed to see a little more from God's word. You know, and that's one of the reasons the Walking in God's Power foundational class is very beneficial for people, because you get an opportunity to see the word and see how God's word is accurate, how it's true, and you get some information from the scriptures, not just someone saying, do it, but you learn to get your head in the book and read and see it, and then you know what? You can do what you want. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the right way of believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And that's where we want to get with the promises of God. Fully, whatever it takes to get to that point. It might take a little longer for one person than another. And that may vary with different promises. You know, God has great promises of prosperity. Sometimes people struggle with that. Well, do what you got to do to get fully persuaded that God wishes above all things that you prosper and be in health. Someone may give you a bid for a job that sounds unreasonable and you reject it. You may think the price of an item that you want to buy is unreasonable and you don't buy it. You might decide not to sign a contract because the terms are unreasonable to you. But the proper response to God's word, even if it sounds unreasonable, is to believe God. And I'd like to close by reading two paragraphs from, this is the book called In the Footsteps of the Patriarchs, Prophets, Believers, and Kings, Volume 1. There's some great, wonderful teaching of God's word in here. And in preparation for the advanced class, there's some reading that's required before class starts. One of them is this great study called The Friend of God, an introductory study of Abraham. There's a lot in the Bible about Abraham. But I thought this would be profitable to read these two paragraphs, and perhaps it'll be helpful in terms of answered prayer. We had previously made note of the passage of time at the end of Genesis 16 and the beginning of Genesis 17, and the mention of Ishmael's being 13 years old in verse 25 once again reminds the reader of the passage of time which had elapsed. Noting and appreciating the amount of time which elapsed between some of these recorded events allows the reader to understand and appreciate Abraham and his walk with and for God in a greater way. And it also gives insight into how God worked with Abraham and how Abraham walked with God. Considering these records can help us to gain perspective concerning such attributes as patience, persistence, believing, etc., when we note the passage of time in the life of Abraham. And then this paragraph. Sometimes people read a promise of God recorded in His Word, and if it does not happen in the next 12 seconds, then they wonder about God and are tempted to walk away from Him. Abraham is called the father of all them that believe. He was a tremendous believer. It was not simply a passing fancy for Abraham to walk with God and to trust what God said. It was far more than a passing fancy. It was a dedication. And perhaps that offers some valuable insights into why Abraham was called the friend of God. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that we can read and choose to believe it. Thank you for your great love and the great salvation we have because you so loved the world you gave your only begotten Son to be our Lord and Savior. Thank you for all the rights, privileges, and abilities that we have as born-again ones. Father, for the great hope that we have looking forward to you sending your son back for us. And until that time, Father, may we choose to believe your words. May we do whatever it is we need to do to be fully persuaded of the great promises that you have given to us. And I pray for everyone here today, for those that are on the hookup, for those that may hear this later, please bless each and every person. And thank you for the great privilege of sharing your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This teaching will be posted on the website a little later this afternoon. And the reason I post the teachings on the website, as well as do those little five-minute podcasts, one of the reasons is so people can not just listen to them and get blessed, but maybe share them with someone. Because just like the podcast, for each of the teaching, there's a link you can copy, paste, and send. And that link takes a person right to a player, not a website where they got to look around. And so, you know, whether it's this teaching or another teaching or a podcast, that maybe there's somebody you're talking with that you think, hey, this might be a blessing for them, might help them, then it's real easy. So that's one of the main reasons that I do that.